Our scripture comes from Romans 8, 12 through 17. So then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. We cry, Abba, Father. It is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If in fact, we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him. The word of God for the people of God. Pray with me. Oh, holy God, we open our hearts, our minds, and our ears that we may hear your word. And we ask you, oh God, to give us understanding. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your presence, O Lord, our God and our Redeemer. Amen. The late Cardinal Richard Cushing once told of an incident from his days as a parish priest. Summoned to give last rites to a man who had collapsed in a store, Cushing knelt beside the man and began with the traditional question. Do you believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit? The man opened one eye and said, here am I dying. And he asked me a riddle. That may reflect how some of us think about the Trinity. God as three persons. A God three in one. Today is Trinity Sunday. Trinity Sunday is not a celebration or a remembrance of some great event that occurred in the Christian history. Rather, it's a theological doctrine. In the Trinity, we focus on the doctrine of God in three ways. The doctrine of God in three ways. This is the only festival during the year that the church honors a specific doctrine. One may ask, why on earth did we come up with such a complex and difficult way to talk about the doctrine of God? You're probably saying, can't matters between us and God be simpler? And I say to you, no. Because in Jesus Christ, we have found that God's rich, relentless love for us is not simple. Everything we believe about God flows from what we have seen of God in Jesus Christ. As Christians, we believe that in life, death, and the resurrection of Jesus, we have seen as much of God as we ever hope to see. 1 John tells us that no one has ever seen God. God is unfathomable. He is beyond the reach of our thinking and perceiving. The Trinity truly is a teaching that's worth celebrating. But you might ask, how did we get here? Well, the doctrine of the Trinity was not formalized until the fourth century as the church sought to explain their experiences of God. The Trinity is the church's answer as to who God is. The word Trinity cannot be found in Scripture, but we do have examples of God as Father, the Creator, the Sustainer, and the Forgiver. God the Son as the Redeemer and the Savior. And God the Holy Spirit as the Counselor and the Sanctifier. There are a number of passages in the New Testament where the three are spoken together in significant ways. We may think about the accounts of Jesus' baptism through the Gospels, where the Father, the Son, and the Spirit was present. And even in our scripture that you heard me read from Romans 8, Paul tells us about how the Father, the Son, and the Spirit leads us to become children of God and fellow heirs with Christ so that we can pray to the Father. This is not a doctrine about how the Father, the Son, and the Spirit are related, but it's a statement about how they work together. The scripture does not prove the Trinity, it witnesses to the Trinity. The Trinity describes the nature of God. It focuses on the relationship of the Godhead, what they are doing together. Christians are those who have been encountered by a true and God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And on this Sunday, Trinity Sunday, I will make an attempt to bring to speech a complex, multifaceted God, to testify to the joyful complexity of the one God who is with us in three ways. The Christian church began among Jewish followers of Jesus, who himself was Jewish. And for Jews, the fundamental belief about God is set out in a verse from Deuteronomy, and it's called the Shema, the Hebrew word meaning hear. It says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. There is only one true God, the one whom Jesus called Father, prayed to and called people to put their trust in him. The Father is God, our creator, and the one that our lives depend on. We believe that the God who is present to us as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is one. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are three distinct yet unified, interactive, relational, and loving ways in which God is one. The Trinity is God in three ways, being the same God. There is no way for us to do justice to the God whom we have met in Jesus Christ without believing the three ways in one God. Our story begins in the Bible with two new human beings, fresh, vulnerable, at home, and at peace in a lush garden. And as we read the story, we see that in just a couple of chapters, things goes from excellence to very bad as humanity rebels against God's good intentions for us and disobeys God's minimum demand. Don't eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Alienation from God was the result of humanity's lust to be gods unto ourselves. If you just listen to the news on any given day, you'll see how human beings think they are in control of the world. And in that, we have a serious neighbor problem. And even more so, we have a serious God problem. What righteous, holy God would have anything to do with such a humanity? Our sin and our rebellion make all the more remarkable that the Bible says that God refused to give up on us. God kept returning to us in constant loving guidance in words of the law and testimony of the prophets through the apocalyptic visions of a better future. And finally, God came to us in Jesus, his own son. Because we wouldn't come to God, because we demonstrated time and time again that we were powerless to do something about our God problem, God came to us and solved our gap as God could do. The same Father who created the world, the God who kept returning to Israel in mercy and graciousness, is the one with the Son who came to us, sought us, and died for us. God keeps creating. He keeps bringing something out of nothing, making a way when there was thought to be no way. God keeps caring. He keeps reaching out to us in active love, constantly watching over us in a vigorous providential care. God is the redeeming, loving, seeking Son. He ventures forth like the prodigal son that we hear about in Luke 15. He ventures to search out and to save lost humanity wherever we are in our far away countries. When God decisively, revealingly came to us, God came to us as one of us. God got incarnate in a Jew from Nazareth, who was born in a most embarrassing way to a young peasant woman. God, he grew up to be a man about who we know next to nothing other than the 3 years of his ministry. He was tortured to death by the government. That one is God among us. The name Jesus means God saves. And the Gospels depict Jesus as God's answer to what's wrong between us and God. God saving the world. John 3:16-17 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life." Indeed, God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. You see, in Jesus of Nazareth, God got physical, he got explicit and peculiar, and he came close to us. He was no longer that distant God that the world was comfortable with. He was no longer that unseen God. He got close, and probably too close for comfort for many of us. Jesus Christ is truly God in action. He is God refusing to remain a general idea for God to remain unknown or unseen. Jesus Christ is God in motion toward us. He is God refusing to stay enclosed in God's own divinity. Yes, God is a benevolent God, but he is also a God that is truly active in our world. It might have been thought that the nature of God is beyond human visibility or comprehension. It was thought that way until Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus is the full, perfect, sufficient revelation of who God is and what God does. Everything we believe about God flows from whatever we have seen of God in Jesus Christ. And just perhaps we have trouble with the Trinity is that once we discovered that God was in Christ, things got a little complicated for us. And not because the church wanted to make the simple faith of Jesus Christ complex and confusing, but rather because we discovered that in Jesus, God was once more, much more demanding than we had thought. He was much more interesting than we first thought him to be. In Christ, God was reiterated in ways that meant that we were forced to expand our notions of God. God is present. He is nearer to us through the dynamic Holy Spirit. He is in us through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God empowering us to do those things that we could never, ever do on our own. God constantly revealing God to us, God talking to us about God. That's the Holy Spirit. There are things that God wants us to know, things that we cannot know except as revelations. That is, as a gift of God working through the Holy Spirit. There are things that God wants us to do that we cannot do except through the empowerment of God's Holy Spirit. Now, as I talk about the Holy Spirit, as I often tell you, don't get scared. It don't make you do peculiar things. It's God living and empowering you. You see, the Holy Spirit is not an exotic third person of God, and it is not some strange phenomena that is something similar to who God is. The Holy Spirit is more than an impersonal force. It's more than a psychic energy or indistinct power. You see, the Holy Spirit has a personality because it is the Spirit of the Father and of the Son. It is God in action. The God who not only loves, not only redeems, but also now is present at all times with us and convincing the world of sin, leading us to the church. Then he comforts and sustains and empowers us all along our ways of discipleship. In other words, the Holy Spirit is God in action, God revealed and God present. God in action, God revealed, and God present. God is in our midst, and he is in our midst through the presence and the power of his Holy Spirit. The indwelling Holy Spirit shows us God who always moves within us. In our passage from Romans 8, Paul tells us what the Trinity does for us. In earlier passages of Romans, Paul has spoken about the problem of sin in which all people are enmeshed and which destroys the relationship with God. He tells us that we can't restore that relationship by doing works of the law, but that God has acted to restore that relationship through the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We are justified. We are put in right relationship with God by faith in this saving work of Christ Jesus. And this is good news, but we don't want to let it stop right at this point. Because if we did, we'd have an individualistic version of Christianity. We would have a me and Jesus or you and Jesus, a kind of religion that is all too common in our world today. But God's purpose is not merely the salvation of some individuals. It is the formation of a believing community. Jesus made that quite clear during his own ministry. When he taught his disciples and us to pray, he said, ask as a member of the community for our daily bread and for the forgiveness of our sins. And most significantly, he said, we are to pray to the Father. The Trinity is a community of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And the Son invites us to share in his communal relationship with the Father. So Paul tells us that those that are led by the Spirit are children of God, sharing in the relationship with God to which Jesus has invited us to share in. And the Holy Spirit takes the initiative that we are invited and we know that it is God speaking to us. Jesus compared the working of the Spirit with the unpredictability of the wind. And there are many stories in the Bible and church history of God's call of people we wouldn't expect him to call. It can happen for us if we realize that the Holy Spirit has sometimes been called the bond of love. Between God the Father and God the Son, there's a bond of love. And what Paul is saying is that that bond of love has been extended to us. We have received not a spirit of slavery, a bond of servitude, but a spirit of adoption, a bond of love. We have become, if we wish, adopted children of God. That is our status now. Sisters and brothers, we are the sons and daughters of God. And Paul says that that means that we are also heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Those that are led by the Spirit, those that put their trust in Jesus are joint heirs with him. And that means precisely that we too have hope of receiving the inheritance that God has offered us through Jesus Christ. And that inheritance is shared in the life of the new creation and the resurrection. We believe in the Trinity because we have truly been encountered by the Trinity. We have been transformed by a power that is beyond us, a power that is greater than ourselves, loved by a love that is greater than our love, and embraced by a God that is so large, so rich, so close to us that we could never have thought of this God by ourselves. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are the three ways that God works together for the transformation of the world. And as children of God, we are called into a community, into a love relationship with the community of the Trinity. Those that are joined to Christ by the Spirit are also called to return to the world in lives of self-giving love. So, brothers and sisters, God's work in the world is not finished. As children of God, we are called to share in that work, and that work will sometimes be hard. We sometimes will have to suffer. As Paul said, we will suffer with God, with Jesus Christ. But if we suffer with Jesus Christ, the glory to which we are called as heirs with Christ will be truly the glory of God reigning through us. And that glory cannot be taken away from us by the world. They didn't give it. God gave it to us. It's a glory that has been given because of the work of God in three ways. Father Richard Rohr, a contemplative prayer and writer, states that the Trinity reveals God as a divine dance. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit dancing together. And the Spirit is in us, so it means we are dancing with God and the Son. So after all that I have said today, are you still asking why do we bother with the Trinity? I would say we bother with it because they teach us how to share in a self-giving love. A love that will win over the world. A love that would move the world and hate to love. A love that will conquer evil. A love that will bring peace upon the world. A love that will bring us together to make us one in Christ Jesus. A love that will conquer all of the evil in God's world. So in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, I say amen.